Welcome to the revolution of the mind. This is Why You Mad Son Radio. Happy New Year. We are in the 016. Seems like just yesterday we had our first broadcast coming at you in the 010. Here we are all the way in 016, still doing it for you each and every Tuesday night. Me, Sha Boogie, and the Madman Crew. Y'all know how we do. So listen, let's get the housekeeping issues out of the way. Welcome you to a new year with the Madman family. Y'all know we do it every Tuesday at 10. Calling number is 917-889-2924. Hit the number 1. We'll get you set up and ready to go. Make sure you visit our site at whyyoumadson.com. There you'll find links to our Facebook fan page, the Madman Twitter feed. Make sure you follow us at whyyoumadson, all spelled out. Our show archive is also there. The Madman store is open, but guess what? All of our Revolution Gear shirts, first edition, is sold out. Hopefully we'll
booty
be coming
shorts
to you next week. No more booty shorts, but next week we'll be coming to you with a new design. Hopefully those sell out as well. So we want to keep you fresh to death when you go out to your rallies, marches, or if you just want to represent for your cause where you stand, you can do that with Revolution Gear. You'll be able to find that on the Why You Mad Son online store. We'll have the links up and all of that, so you can check back with us on our fan page or at Why You Mad Son Radio on Facebook, on Twitter at Why You Mad Son, or go to the website. The links will be up. You'll be able to cop it, so make sure you check for that. WYMS is syndicated on the Black Talk Radio Network. So for the best in live broadcasts and the best in Black Talk, make sure you visit them on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com. So it's been a minute since we've been on the air. Last time we spoke to you, Mad Men, it was Christmas break. And we ended out the year strong, looking at all the cases where we won justice. Just to have to come back on the air to talk about the Brownsville Five. You guys know what happened in Brooklyn, and this is a nationwide story. We'll be going through the story for those of you who don't know, maybe live outside of the country. You know, we have madmen all over. But we're going to be talking about this case, a nightmare in Brooklyn, a gang rape that happened, and it is a polarizing case. And it says a lot about rape culture. It says a lot about how we view victims. It says a lot about fathers and the state of Black youth in disenfranchised areas. So we got a lot to talk about when it comes to that. But first, I got to bring in the crew, the nuclei of the Madman family, the shenanigan makers, starting with Miss Nick Fatal. She is our newly planted Georgia peach. She is the author of Potty Mouth on Tumblr. Make sure you go ahead and check that out as well. She is also our sexy pundit. She is quick with the wit, quick to tell you where you did it, where your mama did it, and where y'all can both go with it. Miss Nick Fatal, tell them why you mad.
Meow, y'all. Okay. I'm mad because Tebow Bryson Daddy almost made me late to work today.
Tebow Bryson.
I had a driver today. Like, I take Uber to work because A, I'm lazy. B, Atlanta traffic is no joke. And C, I'm lazy. So, and my Uber driver, first of all, he was playing a smooth jazz. He was driving like Mama Myrtle. And he so happened to look like Tebow Bryson's daddy. Shout out to all
of you.
If I had a hood, I had to hear Al Jarreau one more damn time,
We're in this love together. We have a time that'll last forever.
What the hell is going on in here? I can't.
Masquerade is over.
She said Al Jarreau.
Wow.
About real. There was so much struggle going on in that one driver's seat. I was just like, we're going to crash. We're going to crash because this is too much struggle to happen at one time. And the Lord is going to say, sit thine ass down. And that's going to be it.
I can't. Next up for the Madman family, Agent 317, a.k.a. Mr. Disrespectful. He is our madman who is very disrespectful. He tells you why he's mad, but he does it in the most eloquent of fashions. So, Ronan, Agent 317, please, tell him why you're mad, son.
Well, there's two reasons I'm mad. One of the main reasons I'm mad is the public outcry about not being nominated about the Oscars when black folks should have had their own shit in the first place. And I just think it's retarded for them to sit there and be accepted by people who don't give a shit about you. And the second reason I'm mad is because of my cousin. For some reason, family members want to talk around the problem, but when she gave me a hug, and I'm taller than her, but my knees got weak because she stinks. So the thing is, I was asking, you know, you ladies, how do you tell somebody, you know, that, you know, you're related to, that they smell like abscess teeth and playoff socks.
Abscess teeth.
Dang.
Well, like I was telling you, it depends on the personality of the person.
But what happens when your body odor has more personality than you?
Oh, well, no.
Yo, just sing. You can put it in a song, man. Like put it in a song. You're stinking, baby. Let me rub you up and down with a bar of soap.
Breathing in the remix.
Down, baby.
Why most old time stinky people, though? Like, seriously, do the stinky people just gravitate towards you?
I don't know what it is. I need to go by and contaminate his area for a minute. I have to figure out what the hell's going on because I don't like it.
I feel like you have a sensitive nose and you're in the wrong profession and you need to like work in those companies where they test perfume and cologne and stuff because your nose is really sensitive or everybody is funky. It's one or the other.
No, it's sensitive because I mean some people don't watch what they eat and I don't know, they need bar soap and shower counseling. I don't know what they need to do.
Boy. Oh,
he's the worst.
He know what the Rock is cooking and everything.
Okay, he needs to go work for the WHO, the World Health Organization, and the CDC at the same damn time. I'm not messing with him. Next up for the Madman like family, none other than Juan. He is the man of 1,000 AKAs. A.K.A. Buffy the White Girl Slayer, A.K.A. El Negro Diablo, A.K.A. Mr. Wishy Washy Writer, as for the Madman Chronicles.
Yeah, I sent you an article.
God damn it. How you going to send it to me over break when you know I ain't working?
Yeah, time to work on it.
Yeah. You went there, child.
So Juan, a.k.a. El Negro Diablo, tell him why you mad, son.
Well, before I get into why I'm mad, I just want to send, hopefully some of the family's listening, I just want to send a rest in peace to the family of Jemiah Amari Williams. She's a little girl. She passed away this past January the 10th, 2016, 2 years old. And just, you know, just sending my love and rest in peace to the family out there. You know, I went to a funeral this past weekend. And, you know, just to let everybody know that, hey, if you got a child, you know, hey, make sure you hug them extra tighter and tell them that you love them.
Yes.
But, going into why I'm mad, son, piggybacking off of what, you know, Ronan said, my thing with this people always wigging out over this Oscar snub and all this other stuff. Look, man, look, people. So y'all want to boycott the Oscars because not enough black people being nominated. First of all, okay, how many other black movies they didn't put out last year too much? I mean, other than Creed and Straight Outta Compton, ain't that many Oscar-worthy, you know, in that kind of category, you know, black films that was out there last year like that, okay?
Don't forget Beasts of No Nation.
Beats of No Nation, yeah, but yeah. You know, they got a war against Netflix. You know, they kind of beefing,
Right,
but
right,
second
right.
Second of all, you got to put the, like DMX said in Belly, you got to put the weed in the bag, okay? Y'all got to put out some films out there, and then that way people go get it, okay? And then second of all, why are y'all chasing after people that don't appreciate y'all? Okay, go where you're appreciated, not where you're tolerated. Okay.
Yeah.
All the time you see. Okay, they be having award shows for us, like the NAACP Awards, the Image Awards, the BET Awards, celebrating us as our culture and everything. And guess what? Y'all don't show up.
That's because the NAACP and the BET Awards still get us the awards to white people.
Yeah, they do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they do.
Yeah. True. Yeah.
Donald Sterling.
True.
Right.
No.
Right.
Real.
The industry itself needs to be changed from the bottom up. If this is supposed to be a worldwide movie thing and not just for one segment of the population, then the entire industry needs to be diverse. That means the writers, the directors, the actors, everybody from the bottom up, the people that actually vote. Only about two of them is black. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the entire structure needs to be revamped. You can't just boycott the damn award show. It's industry as a whole.
But you know what that reminds me of? You know what that reminds me of, though?
What's that?
The Hip Hop Film Festival.
Oh, Lord.
Holla.
The Hip Hop Film Festival in New York City.
There we go.
That's what that reminds me of. That's exactly why you should support it. That's exactly why you need to be there. Because I'm going to be there. Boogie's going to be there. You need to be there, too. You need to submit your film. You need to stop flapping your gums and start mailing in or sending in your films and start making this happen. That's what that's
right.
About.
That's right. That's right. Hip Hop Film Festival, NYC.com.
I dare you to say I'm wrong.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong. Look, man, quiet. You're not wrong.
Not you. I'm talking about America. Look.
America. America.
Not America. America? Y'all listen. America. I did want y'all to tell me I'm wrong. You need to support that Hip Hop Film Festival. And that is why. Everybody want to talk about Oscar so white. Oscar been white. They just painted him gold. You heard me?
Holla.
Yeah.
She said a mouthful. Shut your shit down, Juan. Boop.
I'm sorry. It just reminded me of the Hip Hop Film Festival, and I had to go and plug my girl stuff. I'm just saying. Back to the original program. You know, do what you was doing.
Listen, I ain't mad at it.
I'm just saying. That just reminded me, and I was like, oh, let me get on the page. America.
Who is typing?
Attention,
whoever
America.
Is typing, stop it right now. Or take you take your keyboard. If you type in, take your keyboard off the table where the mic is, put it on your lap, or take your microphone off the table where you keep it. You gotta separate the two. You understand what I'm saying? Don't do it.
I didn't do it. I didn't do it.
Don't do it. We ain't starting out the year like this now. We done resolved all the sound issues. We are not starting the year out like this. I'm telling you, as soon as I get off the air, I am getting in my car, I am driving somewhere, and I'm going for a drink because y'all done already got on my nerves. And it ain't 2 minutes into the show. 2 minutes.
Already have a drink at the crib.
Ain't no drink here.
Hey, you got now.
No Hennessy?
Where glove at? Actually,
Cognac?
I do have a little fifth. I do got a little fifth.
Okay.
Let's take it on to Love, who is the head proprietor over on Facebook at Know the Ledge. He is also the head researcher here for the Madman Family, bringing you the words of the week and the jam of the week. None other than Love. Tell him why you mad, son.
Man, I'm mad for, I'm going to tell you why I'm really mad, but it's going to start off with this daggone BS Oscar thing that these bourgeoisie, rich-ass celebrity, black celebrities all of a sudden want to be all pissed about. Now, they're all pissed about this shit, but But then it ain't now, not one of the motherfuckers are pissed about, or I ain't heard a single goddamn word about them speaking about what's going on in Flint, Michigan, where they're drinking liquid shit.
Liquid shit.
I ain't heard nothing about
liquid
it.
Shit.
There's bigger problems out going on right now with our black people. I don't give a damn about no daggone Oscars because we got snubbed. We get snubbed every year. What else is new? Now y'all want to get mad because so-and-so not getting nominated. Y'all want to get mad now. There's more issues right now that y'all need to stand up and do. And y'all the celebrities, y'all got the money, y'all got the so-called power in the clout. Why don't y'all do that? Focus on that. That's why I'm mad.
Damn.
Woo! Damn. He needs some vinegar.
Fire.
Tell him why you mad, Glove. Damn.
Yes, I am. Vinegar.
He came on the line hollering.
Yeah. Damn it.
This is 2016. Enough of this bullshit.
I hear you.
That's real.
It is real. And he got every right to be mad because what's happening in Flint is it's a damn shame. And it was done deliberately. Those kids are dying now. They are poisoned. They will have severe brain damage and learning disabilities for the rest of their lives. It is not a game in Flint, Michigan right now.
Let that happen in Bel Air.
Oh, it ain't.
Let that happen in Greenwich Village.
Oh. Listen, don't get
that
me
happen
started.
In Yale.
Don't get me started. Don't get me started. Miss Nick Fatale.
Hilton Head, South Carolina.
Would you please do me the honors?
I certainly will. Y'all know what time it is, America. It's time to bring our HMIC to the driver's seat. HMIC stands for Head Madman in Charge. In case you didn't know, you need to ask somebody. She is our CEO of YU Mad Sun Entertainment, the producer and host of YU Mad Sun Radio, that hip hop film festival in New York City. That's her too. She's the director. She does it all, okay? Her nickname is Do It All, because Boogie do it all. Every week, we want to know what is in her radar and why she's mad. And this week is no different. Why are you mad, Boogie?
I'm going to tell you why I'm mad, son. I'm mad because we got to learn how to be better humans.
Yep.
That's my mantra for this year. If you've been following us on the fan page, you'll see that I've done a lot of posts where I'm asking people to be better humans. And it's time for us to really embody that. We need to stop getting upset about little things. We need to treat people the way that they treat us. We need to show more care, compassion, and love for our fellow humans because we are all connected. We need to learn how to be better humans. What's happening in Flint, Michigan is reprehensible. What happened in Brownsville, the topic for tonight, reprehensible. Had those boys been practicing the mantra of being better humans, what happened in that park in Brooklyn that night to that young lady would have never have happened. If her father gave a damn, it never would have happened. If their parents, the parents of those young boys, gave a damn, this may never have happened. We have got to begin to learn how to be better humans. So I'm going to be on that mantra all year. Y'all might get sick of it, but so the hell what? Be better humans. That's the message for this year. As we begin the year, I want to make sure that I make it clear this is the year of being better humans. We got to practice that. We got to get into that. We got to practice it more. And it doesn't take much. A kind gesture, a phone call, hey, I'm thinking about you, or you know, you thirsty here? Let me get you something to drink. Things that will not take away from your comfortability. It ain't going to hurt you to reach out to a fellow human and let them know that you're human too and you care. We got to be better humans to each other. The world is getting smaller and it's getting meaner and colder. We got Trump and Palin looking like they about to be the ticket to be running the country right now.
It's real scary.
It's real scary. And sometimes being a better human means getting rid of the humans that aren't good humans. Mm-hmm. One bad apple will spoil the whole bunch. So we need to
say
begin
no to having abortion.
That's right.
Does that also mean I can give out charity?
No, hey. No, no, no.
That's being a better human.
No, no.
What are you I'm talking about charity. Charity for
no. Oh, no, nope.
What do you think I'm talking
nope.
about that? No.
Nope.
Charity.
Shut up. Nope. Nope. You know, I'm not doing this with you today. Nope. Mm-mm. So let's get into the jam of the week. We got some, actually, it's a jam by this dude called Cashflow Harlem, Harlem Represent. You know how we do. And when Glove sent it to me, I was like, yo, this got to be the jam of the week because people need to hear this. It's dope. I want you guys to listen to it. It's definitely fire. We're going to hit you guys on the flip. It's real short.
Yo, man, there's certain things that I can't wait to just mention. Hello, it's like, is y'all paying attention? Shit get crazy, evidently. This year just started, it's already messy. These problems is major, they ain't minor. Speaking of minor, I see Tiger. Been having issues ever since he left his baby mama. I guess too young, sound like something in China. Look, I don't know if it's true or false. See, it's reality, it's news reports. And these writers is real sloppy. I mean, look what they doing to Bill Cosby. And just to think it was all a dream, how you turn around and go praise Charlie Sheen? Man, that's ice cold zero. He giving motherfucking AIDS and he a hero? And yo, real talk, knock it off. They got the whole country fooled with this Powerball. How could I come to respect? They give $1 billion out but say the country in debt? Yo, as if the people ain't mad enough. Hey yo, ain't nobody stupid, they ain't had enough. 5 men raped a girl out at BK. She was with a pop, he called the police. Hey, I ain't a thug or a gangster, you feel me? That's me and my daughter, two niggas that had to kill me. Don't be blinded by the politics. It's time that a real one come acknowledge it. Certain things that I can't wait to just mention. Say hello, cause I hope y'all paying attention. Flow, at Cashflow Harlem, y'all know what this is, man. Smarten up, my love.
Y'all, I love that jam. Short, sweet, to the point.
Yeah.
I wish we had more hip-hop like this. I mean, it is out there. You just got to dig and find it. Thank God for Glove because he digs and he finds it and he brings it to us so that we can bring it to you guys. Go look up this cat. He's doing his thing. Cashflow Harlem is the name. Google him. He got some joints out there. Hip-hop is making a resurgence through the underground. If you didn't know, it's getting more and more and more shine. And we hope to bring you more of that. So I'm going to put Glove to the task to make sure that we start putting people on to real hip-hop, not the manufactured go-kill-all-the-black-people hip-hop that is permeating on ears today.
Yes, ma'am.
The time for party, drugs, and bitches is over.
Mm-hmm.
It's time to get back to the positivity. It's time to get back to the building. It's time to get back to positive images, thoughts, and music. That's what it's about. That's what it's about. What y'all thought about that jam?
I like that. He was
so right. I felt like he could have came with some more. I wish he came with some more. I know it's short, but you know I was ready to hear some more you know stream of conscious type of thought. But it was dope though. It was dope,
yeah. Right?
Yeah,
I like cool. That.
It was a needed
like
change
that.
Of pace.
Definitely. I like that he touched on everything. He touched on Bill Cosby because, you know, that blew when we was on break with the most of the cases getting blown out the water, how they proved all that. And the attorney that Bill got, the sister?
Yeah.
I boogie with
killing
a shot boogie with a perm.
Slaying him. Touched on Charlie Sheen.
Tiger Blood.
Tigger, whatever his name is. Yo, they straight up tried to Bill Cosby that young man.
Yeah.
Now this chick was, she talked about she 14, but if you go and look at her Instagram page, she straight thought it out. White girl, blonde hair, Becky Sue. I don't know what her name is, Becky Sue some shit. And she texting him damn near stalking him, talking about she 18.
Yeah.
She's 18, and he wasn't trying to holler at all. He released all the text messages.
Yeah.
But people are so quick to believe the worst because when he was 17, he got his girlfriend that was 14. You know that whole Kardashian Hollywood shit. So everybody think he a pedophile now. Now whether he is or not, that remains to be seen. But in this case, he was not. And they got this white girl blubbering on TV with Gloria all red, and she crying, and everybody calling for this man. Hey, he ain't even touched the girl. He ain't even talked to her.
But you know what? Once you see those signs, like Gloria all red, or you know, basically when they put it in the court of bias, court of public opinion, you already know what's up. You already know.
Every black man needs to go out and get them an Emmett Till contract.
Yep.
Anytime you even talk, I don't care if you're serving a white girl a drink at the bar, you better have it on record and have that bitch sign a contract.
Mm-hmm.
You hear me?
Because they are out
for blood.
Yeah.
I got the app.
Yep.
I'm just saying this selective because they didn't say nothing when they found out that he was dating that Kardashian because it's a Kardashian.
Right.
They want to say that slide, but now when this little thing, they want to hop on him now. So they're very sneaky and selective on when they want to attack.
It's the new hustle. You basically find you a black dude, just how they did the whole the street harassment thing, where she walked down, I think it was Brooklyn or wherever, and saw nothing but black dudes being courteous to her, but she said she's being harassed. That's the new thing.
Man. Oh, man, I forgot to open the chat room. I am so sorry, you guys. I'm getting hit up left and right.
This is how we start up a new year now.
I forgot. Marcus, Shah, get it together, please. Get it together. My bad, son. My bad. Shenanigans is running the foot right now. I'm sorry.
That's some hoodie award shit.
Yes. Speaking of which, y'all know what time it is. It is time for the Go Sit Your Black Ass Down Award for the week. And this is a special Go Sit Your Black Ass Down Award because it is the first one to be handed out for the year on the live broadcast. You know the rules. Each madman presents his nominee. The madmen listen to the rant, why they should go sit their black ass down. And at the end, we do a recap. And then we will take a vote on who should go sit their black ass down. Everybody got the rules?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
All right. So let's start out with Miss Nick Fatale. Who is your nominee for the Go Sit Your Black Ass Down Award for the week?
Yo, Snoop Lion, Snoop Dogg, whoever. Yo, Tito. And look,
man.
I'm not saying he should go sit his black ass down because I don't love him. I do love him. He cracks me up. He takes me to a level that is just. But if he don't sit his black ass down,
why he gotta sit down though?
I can't with him. I can't. He started out wanting to talk about the Oscars, and I get that. You know, he's upset. I understand his position and everything, but he was like. Yo, y'all need to give these niggas their award. I'm like, you throwing a whole message. Yo, y'all need to get up off of this all white shit and start recognizing niggas for what they do. Really?
Hey, come next month when the Grammys hit, you're going to be crip walking when what's his name gets all his Grammys, Kendrick.
He's smoking a blunt in the next video because I guess his publicist and all his people behind him was like, look, Snoop, you shouldn't have did that. You shouldn't have said that. Maybe you should take it back. So he recorded another video again about the Oscars, and he was like, yo, I ain't taking that back. He's smoking a blunt.
Wow.
Whoa.
Snoop. I'm going to tell y'all right now, I love Snoop. I have made jokes about him, but that's my dude. And, y'all, on this one, I need you to sit down, though.
Wow.
You're not making nothing better.
Wow.
You did not raise the consciousness with your message.
He did not. It was like, I was like maybe 45 seconds dumber.
After God. Damn.
He lost the whole nation of people. Right. He got to like 15 seconds in the video. Everybody was like, oh, hell no. I heard the collective sigh of black
yeah,
people.
Yeah, I did too. I sighed too. I did.
You were in New York. I heard it in Atlanta. I heard the collective sigh of black people.
I sighed too.
Collective.
Wow. All right. Nick has presented her nominee. Who's next? Let's go to Glove. Who is your nominee for the Go Sit Your Black Ass Down Award for the week?
Speaking of Atlanta, my Sit Your Black Ass Down Award is Black Youngster.
Wow. Black Youngster? Yeah. Who the hell is that?
Oh, I know you're talking about.
Okay. Black Youngster is this so-called, and I'll put so-called in quotations, up-and-coming rapper from Atlanta. They got racially profiled at Wells Fargo, in front of Wells Fargo. Wells Fargo said there was somebody writing bad checks. All right? Police come through. They see this black youngster standing around with a big old stack of money, right, fronting and everything like that. And they say they slammed him to the ground. Then they realize, hey, this is not the right dude. So they let him go. So he hit on Instagram saying, yeah, talking, bragging about his money and cheese and talking about the police profiling because he made this money. And he's saying that then he's talking about he's from that bank and all he did was just withdraw $200,000, you know. And that's fine, whatever. But it turns out when the news went and investigated this mess, it turns out everything he was talking about was false. That was not his money. That was his manager's money. He don't even have an account at Wells Fargo.
Perpetrating the fraud.
Dude, how are you going to be racially profiled and faking the funk at the same time?
Wow.
Wow.
everybody was about to put on free black youngster t-shirts and everything.
It's
terrible.
Marches.
Yes. Yeah. Down highways. Yeah. Terrible. Ooh, that's a good one, Glove. That's a good one. All right, Ronan.
How you gonna be?
It's your nominee.
Profile.
Exactly. All right, Ronan. Who is your nominee for the Go Sit Your Black Ass Down Award for the week?
Well, he's back again. It's Meek Mills. And, he got last year. He's getting his ass kicked by Future. He got his ass destroyed by Drake. Now he wants to go head up with Prince Petty himself, 50 Cent. And seeing how Ja Rule and a few others have been laid waste to, this is not going to end well. And the sad part is, I don't think this will be his last stop. He's going for the gold. The wrong way, but he's going for the bronze medal now. So my nominee is Meek Mill.
Yeah, Meek. Get your shit together, Meek. Get it together.
You can't do it.
All right, Juan. Can you beat it? Who is your nominee for the Go Sit Your Black Ass Down Award for the week?
My nominee for the Go Sit Your Black Ass Down Award, and it hurts my heart to give this guy to be a nominee because I respect him as a rapper and an actor. But Sit Your Black Ass Down Award, he needs to go out to Mos Def.
Oh!
Yeah. Yes, Mos Def. Okay, so this past Friday, Mos Def, he was arrested for allegedly using an illegal world passport that he tried to leave the country. For those that don't know, right now, Mos Def has been living in South Africa for the past 5 years on an entertainment visa. Since he renounced his citizenship in America, you know, he on the run for child support, but that's neither here nor there. But anyway, he's living in South Africa now, and, you know, he's overstayed his welcome over there, and now he's sitting in South Africa illegally. So he entered the country on a U.S. passport, but since he renounced his citizenship, he didn't become a citizen of South Africa. So now you try to get out on a world passport. What the hell is a world passport? Okay, you touring around the world with Reflesh Eternal and most and Pharoah Monch and all them from Ruckus Records and the Lyricist Lounge Tour. You know how to get a real passport. You know what a passport is about. You know you ain't never heard of no damn world passport. And right now, dude, you look so stupid. You looking homeless right now. You can't go back to the U.S.
Damn.
You ain't a citizen of South Africa. You're looking like an international homeless person right now, dude.
International hobo.
Go sit your black ass down.
I gotta write that down. International hobo.
International.
Don't say that. I'm homeless.
I'm homeless.
Like a penny with a hole in it.
Damn. I'm leaving on the next plane. No, you ain't, most deaf. Your ass
is most definitely not coming back here.
Wow.
Most deaf. Damn, most deaf. And you so conscious. Damn.
Well, hey.
All right. Everybody had they go.
Yeah.
All right. My nominee for the Go Sit Your Black Ass Down Award is none other. I got two. They both.
Damn.
Both of them together. Jada Pinkett Smith and Black Aunt Viv.
Yep.
I'm going to need both of y'all bitches to go sit y'all black asses down. Now, while both of you have points, Miss Jada, you need to go sit down because Will's performance is not worthy of all of these shenanigans that you have just laid upon us. You should have been singing this swan song long before all of this happened.
No,
before Will got shorted. You should have been singing this song when he ain't win the Oscar for Ali. If he would have won for anything, it would have been that.
After Earth.
Mm-hmm. Mm. I can't understand why all of a sudden, because your man didn't get nominated, now we all got to fucking take a crusade up against the Oscars. When it's not the Oscars that we should have the problem with, it's the industry as a whole, stupid.
Well?
Get it together, Jada. That's why your ass ain't on TV now.
No, she got killed off on Gotham, but yeah.
I know, because they wanted her to shut the hell up. Now, Black Aunt Viv, I was rocking with you. I was rocking with you for all of these years. Even when you came out with your video, when you told this girl to go sit her black ass down, I was like, yes, Aunt Viv. But then you went and took it back to a 20-year-old beef you had with Will Smith. That made it seem petty. You had every opportunity to take it to where it was supposed to be. As soon as you went into that, all you had to do was leave it alone at just because your man didn't get an Oscar is not a reason for you to try to disenfranchise millions of people that's trying to change the industry. She could have took it there, but no. She got to bring up her beef with Will and how Will didn't want to get together and become a union on the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. The boy was 25 years old, and at the time what you should have did as Aunt Viv was sit his ass down and educate him to what the struggle is. And then maybe it would have turned out differently instead of being a hard-headed, bitter person. So now both of y'all looking stupid, and I'm going to need both of y'all to go sit y'all black ass down because the problem is not with the award show, it's with the industry as a whole. There needs to be writers, directors. The voting body for the Oscars needs to be diversified. The entire industry needs to be stripped down and rebuilt with all the people in mind. That is how you make change. Not at one goddamn award show that your husband didn't get nominated for or nigga you had a beef with 25 years ago. Come on now. Go sit your black ass down.
What's beef?
Thank you. So those are the nominees. So let's do a recap and let's take a vote. I lost Nick. Nick Fatale, her line dropped out.
She back?
She's dialing in.
Okay, good. So, the recap, Nick nominated, here she go. Hold on, let me bring a line up. Miss Nick Fatale.
Okay.
Yeah. There we go. So, Miss Nick Fatale voted for her nominee is Snoop Lion for asking black unity by calling everybody niggas in the same breath. Glove nominated black youngster for trying to be the next Black Lives Matter cause and was a damn fraud. He was perpetrating the fraud, waving around somebody else's money, almost had people getting fire hose and dogs sicked on him. And it, listen, I can't. Ronan nominated Meek Mill for not listening when he got the award for the year to go sit his black ass down. Started out the year beefing with 50 Cent. Can we get past this, please? It's old, it's tired, you got beat. Let it go, bro. Let it go.
He is the DeMarcus Russell of hip hop.
He shouldn't be naming anybody in a rap. Nobody. At all.
Marcus Russell.
Juan nominated Most Def for having a bootleg-ass passport and for being on the run with a child support case. He is now an international hobo and got the entire conscious community looking stupid.
Got some change.
Hobo-less.
Most Def, really? Really, Most Def? Really?
That's my dude, too. That is my dude, and I can't.
And he my dude. He all on the you know, remember when they had the Guantanamo, he went on and said, oh, this is what happens when you force these people.
That's my dude.
But to be honest,
he worrying
like
about
that, though,
prisoners being force fed in Guantanamo but can't send money for his kids to get fed, period. The dude owe over $600,000 in child support. But you
Come
want
on,
me to
man.
Listen to you about Guantanamo? You on a bootleg passport? You talking about you want to be South Africa? South Africa don't want you. You a black American, boo-boo. And black people need to learn that when you try to go over there, they're going to send your ass right the hell back, just like they did.
Don't
come
they
on
have a woman
now.
Born in Tijuana?
Come on now. Get out of here. He can't come back to the United States because they're going to lock
Tijuana?
His ass up as soon as he steps foot on the soil, unless he pay that money.
They got hotels in Tijuana, I told you.
Yeah, he renounced his citizenship, so he can't go back to the States.
It's not quite the States. I mean, if he's on Mexican soil, he can chill out there for a while, but, you know.
Mexico got extradition. You see what's going on with El Chapo.
Well, hey.
Yeah.
It's a different of Cuba. Just to get his head right, that's all I'm saying.
Well, I don't know. I don't know how you're going to get anywhere because it's only three nations in the entire world that recognize that passport that he has. And
well,
they all in Africa,
Cuba.
And he ain't nowhere near them. He has
well,
no way to get anywhere.
Out there, he
okay?
Can chill out in. You know,
they are sending him back to America, and as soon as he gets here, they're going to arrest him. So, my nominee was Jada Pinkett Smith and Aunt Viv. Let it go. Relate, relax, release. So nobody care about no one damn award. If you want to change the industry, you change it as a whole. Go sit y'all black asses down. So those are the nominees for tonight. Let's vote. Nick, who gets your vote?
Oh. Damn. I want to go for Black. What was this? Black Thugster. What's his name?
Black Youngster.
A little idiot, whatever his name. I want to vote for him, but I got to give it to Black Aunt Viv, the original Aunt Viv 1.0, because, and I'm going to tell you why, not just because she had the clap, the ultimate Reed clap back, but she's still mad about something that happened 25 years ago. You guys, go ahead, Black Aunt Viv. Bring up that old shit. That's right. Be shady as hell. We love it.
Go sit her ass.
So man. I got a nomination for them. Yeah. She need to sit her ass down, but we love you still.
Gloves, who gets your vote to go sit their black ass down this week?
My vote is for Jada, not so much for Viv. If you got fired, you were getting that money and you got screwed over, then yeah, I got it. I'm not going to trip. But Jada, and it's not what anything that you said, Boogie, but it's more like when I watch the video and see her sitting just chilling, extra relaxed in her million-dollar home in that nice, plush, living room. It looked like the air was just looking so perfect. And
I know, her skin all glistening.
About entitlement. I'm like, man.
I'm over here all ashy.
Yeah.
She was all buffed and polished. Talk about, we are dignified people. If you don't shut the hell up, we know that.
Yeah. You look like you're eating too damn good to be even complaining about no daggone award.
And meanwhile, your son is the face of the women's wear line for Louis Vuitton. Really? I think you have more important things to be worried about, Miss Jada. I'm just saying.
And Will Smith was the one that said racism was rare. So I don't even know how she could fix her mouth. But you know what? Just for the purposes of go sit your black ass down. That's why I voted for them, because they gave me some good shit to look at. Eight minutes of just pure ridiculousness and shade that was so epic. I said,
you ain't Barack and Michelle. I was dying.
She was like, honey, when she said, when Black Aunt Viv said, Miss Thang, I said, oh, this is going to be good right here. Let me put my headphones in. Because look, I was in mixed company. I had to put my headphones in when she said Miss Thang, because you knew it was going to be serious. When a CEO, some odd woman call you Miss Thang, you about to get read. You might as well, the library is open.
She read her for real. All right, let's get moving. Ronan, who it gets your vote this week?
My vote is Mos Def, the international hobo.
Oh God!
Just that alone, I don't understand how you do that shit. How you just every corner of the earth, you're homeless. I don't get it. I don't understand.
Stop. I hear you.
All right, Juan, who gets your vote for the Go Sit Your Black Ass Down Award this week?
My man, the rapper, Gangsta Black, Youngsta Black, whatever the hell his name is.
Gangsta Black?
Young Black.
So, Young Black, there you go.
Black Youngsta,
there you go. I ain't going to run around here perpetrating a fraud. You know, get up on there. First you're talking about, look at this. This is bad. They discriminate against me. I'm the black man. And this is racial discrimination and prejudice and all this other stuff. And it ain't even your damn money. You're drawing for somebody else. Like it's your damn money. Your ass is broke. That's your man. He's robbing you. Look, no wonder we ain't hear about you. Your ass is broke. That's why he got all the money. You ain't got none.
Wow.
Pat is about to be marching out here like it was Selma. I was about to go get a T-shirt.
Mm-hmm. What?
You ain't got no money.
This is hard. This is hard because I gotta vote. Damn.
Take your time.
Now, if I vote for Mos Def, it'll be a tie.
Oh, man.
And I want to vote for Mos Def. But I'm going to vote for Mos Def. Fuck it. We're going to have a tie this week. I vote for Mos Def because that shit is just ridiculous to me. And let me tell you why I'm not going to, even though I nominated them, I'm not going to vote for Aunt Viv and Jada, because don't nobody give a fuck about no goddamn Oscar. We already know. They never nominate us. They only give us awards for hustlers, pimps, and bullshit anyway. We've been knowing this about them. You know what I'm saying? We've been knowing that about them. So I got to give it to Mos Def, simply because this is some unprecedented nigga shit. This is unprecedented. I can't. I expect some shit like this from 2 Chainz or some Young Thug or something. You Mos Def? Go sit your black ass down and think about what the fuck you just did. You ain't taking care of them babies?
Nigga shit.
You not taking care of them babies? Really?
So
we have a tie, y'all. Double winners this week for the Go Sit Your Black Ass Down Award. Mos Def and Black Aunt Viv and Jada Pinkett. So I'm going to go ahead and let Juan give out the award this week because he nominated Mos Def. Juan, take it away.
Mos Def, your ass ain't getting on that plane. Your ass is stuck in limbo some damn where. Wherever you at, you'll be stuck at in limbo. South Africa, Cape Town, Madagascar, whatever the hell you going at. But you need to go sit your black ass down somewhere.
Yes. And there you have it, folks. The winners of the Go Sit Your Black Ass Down Award. Make sure you tune in next week. We'll have new nominees and a new winner for you. This week we have a double winner. Double crown goes out. Black Aunt Viv, Jada Pinkett, and Mos Def. Go Sit Your Black Asses Down. That was a good one. This
I'm mad
week, y'all.
You know what? Oh, I'm mad at myself because I keep calling her Black Aunt Viv.
That's how we know her, though.
That's how we know her.
Yeah, that's how we know her. Like, you know, if you say Aunt Viv, somebody be like, oh, you'd be like, oh, hell no, the Black Aunt Viv. You know?
Right.
Yeah.
You got to let them know. It's a big difference. Big difference. The show was
exactly.
never the same.
We all know the show was over when they replaced her. Daphne Maxwell Reed.
Yeah.
Sorry, boo. Just was not hitting all those notes at all those different levels.
Well, the Fresh Prince told her to go sit her ass down, and so did we.
He damn sure did. And she made sure she mentioned that again.
get a new tune, sister. We tired of hearing that song, baby. We're tired of hearing it. We know what happened. We know Will only look out for himself. We know. God damn.
She like that auntie that got beef with your mom. And so
That's what
it reminded me of.
I can't. Well, listen, guys. It's time to begin to get a little serious. We got the words of the week coming up. It speaks directly to our topic tonight. And tonight's topic, as we get you mad men in here. I see you guys listening in on the line. Thank all of you guys for joining us tonight. Thank all of you guys who are listening to us on the podcast. Happy New Year. What's up, y'all? Happy New Year. The Mad Men are doing it again. The revolution of the mind continues tonight. Topic, we are talking about the Brownsville Five, a nightmare in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
So we're going to discuss where is the fine line between consent and rape. So to begin to speak towards that, Glove found us a beautiful piece called Pinata. Now, I don't like spoken word no more. My close friends know why. But Glove ain't no, so. But because when I first started listening, I was like, ah, man, the fuck? But then I listened, and I was like, you know what? This needs to be heard. It definitely speaks to the topic. So we're going to go ahead, and we're going to listen to this, and then we're going to hit it back on the flip. The name of this piece is called Pinata. So come on, listen, and we'll hit it on the flip.
To the man on the bus, I overheard in conversation tell a woman, presumably a friend, you are too ugly to be raped. Dear man on the bus, tell the 1 in 5 women of this country that they are beautiful, their 4 counterparts spare torment ugly. Tell the 1 in 3 women of this world that you would not make piñatas of their bodies. Watch morsels of them spill greedily to the famished smiles of your ignorance shaped like bloodthirsty children. How your words hit repeatedly until they broke open like a shattered papier-mâché cradle. Their blood flowed like candy until hollowed inside. Their jaws mangled into a misfortune from when they tried to scream for their legs torn into a crucifix. Their loud cry of eyes muted. Tell them how beautiful their silence is, dear man on the bus. From smothering catcalls to a quickened pace of trek home, rape with a dress on, rape without a dress on, raped as children who couldn't even dress themselves. Tell them how ugly their consent was. Tell the depression, the unreported. Tell Mahmoudia, a footnote in crimson Iraqi sands, how beautiful the military silence is and how we don't ask and they didn't tell in the name of country. Tell Elizabeth Fritzl how pretty the flame of her skin was that turned her father into a torturous moth of incest until she gave birth to 7 choices that she never had. Dear man on the bus, tell my 11th grade student Lauren that she wanted it, her beauty had them coming. Tell my 7th grade student Michaela that she wanted it, her beauty had him coming. Tell my 3rd grade student Andre that he wanted it, his beauty had him coming. Tell the 8-year-old me that the God in me I loved fiercely was so gorgeous that cousin twice my age wanted to molest the holy out of me, peeled raw until I was as ugly as she was. Rape is a coward that hides his face in the makeup of silence, a murderous fruit that grows best in the shadows of taboo. A Vietnam prostitute with red, white, and blue skin, a murmur of bodies left vacant by the souls that spend years and years and pills and pills and poems and poems and poems and even death trying to learn how to reclaim them, dear nameless assailant. This bus carries the burden of your sick and blindfold patriarchy heavy on your tongue, on your tongue. Your words are like a monstrous accomplice throwing up from your throat to the 97% that will never see a jail, dear man on the bus. As these words fall out of your mouth, I pray that no one ever finds your children beautiful enough to break open and make a silent, decorative spectacle out of them.
And with that, I'm going to ask you Mad Men to take your seats around the table. Let's do it.
This shit's chess, it ain't checkers. I'm putting cases on all you bitches. I said you protect the sheep by killing the motherfucking wolves. No, you didn't hear me. You listening, but you didn't hear me. It's not what you know. It's what you can prove. I've been planning it all week, son.
We've been planning it all week. Not what you know, it's what you can prove. Time to put cases on these bitches.
Yep.
We're talking about the Brownsville Five, A Nightmare in Brooklyn. Where's the fine line between consent and rape? Now, for those of you that do not know the story, we're going to recap it for you real quick. One night out in Brownsville, Brooklyn. First, let me preface by saying Brownsville, Brooklyn is the hood. Let me just say that. It is a disenfranchised neighborhood. The economics of the neighborhood is poor. The schools are poor, you know, but people are living, working, and being, you know, tax-paying citizens. Good people live there. Very good people. Some people I know live in Brownsville. It is a great community for those that know it. But there are certain elements there that are unwanted. So there is a park out in Brownsville. I know that's Ronan moving around. I know it. I know it. I feel it in my bones.
I'm sitting here chilling. Leave me
who
be,
moving?
Woman.
Who moving?
Leave
Stop
me
it.
Be.
Breathe.
Sit your black ass down.
And be still. So anyway, there's this park out in Brownsville, and one night, a father and his daughter went to a bodega across the street from the park, got some beers, and went into the park. Apparently, they were both inebriated, very much so. But either way, they went into the park. Shortly thereafter, a group of five young men come into the bodega. Now, the bodega owner had known them as, you know, he said that they were, you know, they're bad kids, they're bad boys. That's his statement. He says they come in and usually steal, like, little snacks and stuff like that. They buy some, they steal some, whatever. But that night, they came in after the father and daughter, got their snacks, and went on into the park after them.
Mm.
A short time later, the father comes in stumbling drunk. Nobody can understand what he's saying, but he's asking you to use the phone. And they told him no. He goes to another bodega. He asks to use the phone. They told him no. He goes and gets the cops. He tells the police that his daughter's being raped. They go into the park. The boys run off. Now, there is speculation that the father returned before he returned with the cops, threw a beer bottle at the boys. And they ran off. What the boys were doing was raping his daughter. He told the police that one of the boys drew a gun out on him and told him to leave or get shot. And he stumbled off drunkenly to find help and left his daughter there to be lavished by five hood wolves. The police came, ambulance came, got the young girl. She is 18. She is a ward of the state. She had just reconnected with her father, who is known as the neighborhood drunk. And I just reconnected with him and was having beers and drinking with her pops in the park when these young men came and accosted them, allegedly. And at first, they kind of refused the help of the police and the ambulance. And that could be simply because people don't trust the police in that neighborhood. If you know what the dynamics of the neighborhood is, you'd understand that statement. But who knows why. But eventually she agreed. She was cut up, bruised. Her clothes were ripped off her. She was bleeding. And she was definitely assaulted. Took her to the hospital, performed the rape kit, and sent her on her way. The police released the footage of the young men, and it went viral. We were one of the outlets that put out the said, find them, get them, kill them, let's go. They rounded up the five boys within the next 3 days, all five of them. Two of them, their own mothers, turned them in. And once they were turned in, the boys had a whole different story. These boys said that when they came in the park, the girl was having sex with her father, and they asked if they could have some, and the father said, yes, lit, and they proceeded to jump on the girl. Now, one of them claims to have a cell phone video of the alleged attack, saying that she consented, that she said yes. Now, the reports that that tape has not been released yet. We've been waiting patiently for the past week for it to be released. But so far, what we know of the tape is that you can see the girl with no pants on. Her clothes have already been ripped off. They say she's rolling around on the floor. Somebody said she was smiling. And you could hear them in the back saying, you know, can we get some? And someone saying, oh, yeah, you said that. You said one of the boys telling the girl, yeah, you said yes. I knew you was a freak. And then they proceeded to pounce on her. That's what happened in Brownsville. So now the boys have all been released on bail. the narrative has now switched to she was having sex with her father. She wanted it. She said yes. They're believing, the narrative has turned to believing the young boys, the abusers, as opposed to even waiting for the victim. The girl said she was raped. She never accused her father of anything. She said she was raped. And that is what should stand. But right now, public opinion is now laying with the boys. Some are even comparing them to the Central Park Five. So the question before us tonight is, knowing all that we know, do we believe this? Do we believe that she consented? Is this rape? So I'm going to go around the table, and I want your first impressions, what you think of the entire case, all of that. I want to start out with Ms. Nick Fatale. Give us your thoughts.
I feel like she's described as being so inebriated she could barely stand up. She did fight back with the cops and the EMS people that came to assist her, but she was quite inebriated. So even if she said yes, can you really trust her to say yes to something? If someone is that drunk, then you can't get absolute consent from them, because they really don't know what the hell it is that they're talking about. So that is still rape. You can't get a good consent from them. They don't know what they're talking about. They're not in their right state of mind.
What were your first thoughts when you heard about the case?
I was like, yo, I was like, how the hell? First of all, this is what I thought. And, you know, forgive me for being crude sounding on this, but me and my husband have a rule. Me and my husband have a rule. If my daughter gets run over by a car, then, Negro, you better not come home with not a scratch on you. You feel me? You need to be just as jacked up as she is because you was trying to save her. Do you understand where I'm coming from? America. Y'all understand? So, it's five dudes, one gun. They tell you leave or we going to shoot you. Well, you best to get to popping off because one of y'all I'm going to grab. I'm going to put my hands on at least one of y'all and I'm going to give you that work. I'm going to give you that work. And I'm going to tell my daughter to run because I'm going to take it because I'm the parent. So I'm going to tell my daughter, run, and I'm going to take whatever comes for you so that you don't have to suffer. You don't run away and leave her there to be assaulted, to be violated, to be, you know, left alone. Because all I can imagine this girl thinking is that she saw her father walk away or run away. This is all I could think. Which had to be the worst image. That has to be almost as bad as what happened to her, being violated like that. That had to be just as bad. To see somebody that you care about that's supposed to protect you, that's supposed to be there for you, running away and leaving you there.
Right.
So for that, that's the first thing I thought. I was like, well, if she got raped, why he ain't half dead? You ain't got no stitches, no staples, nothing. Ain't nothing broken.
Right.
What's wrong with you? I feel like you should have went for broke. You should have gave somebody that work. You should have went down swinging and let your daughter run away. I also felt like those boys, you know, for one of them is like 14 years old. So I'm trying to figure out what happened in your life, dude, that you ended up at 14 years old being down with a gang rape, like. I mean,
right. What
is going on in your life?
Right.
Because let's be honest, it's going to be crude, but let's be honest, chicks is giving it up at 14. They're giving it up now. They're giving it up so much that you don't even have to take them on a date. You don't have to do nothing. You just got to look at them, smile, and raise your eyebrow and be like, yo, how that head doing? And it's happening at 14.
I slapped the shit out of my daughter. She comes.
I damn sure could. I would kill everybody. But still, that's how easy it has become because it's become this culture where all these girls is like competing to see, like, you know, who got as many guys after them and who thinks they're sexy and all of this is for likes and all of this is for attention. Everybody wants to be viewed as sexual beings, so they're so hypersexualized that this is what they're doing. Like, each one is competing to go further than the other one to see, you know, how many guys is going to be calling her, how many people going to DM her. So what is you doing at 14 years old being down with a gang rape? What? What is going on in your mind? What's going on in your house that's okay with you?
Damn. All right. Let's take it to Glove. Glove, what were your initial thoughts when you heard about this case, and what did you think about the father leaving his child there?
Well, I was upset. I was very upset because I didn't know, and truthfully, I didn't know the ages of the teenage boys. I just thought of them as, you know, predators. That's the only thing I was on my mind. As for the father leaving, I know that it's emotionally I would reacted the way Nick reacted. But then, but when I'm thinking about it, it's almost like a damn if you do, damn if you don't situation. So it's just 5-on-1 and one guy gun, and you cannot out chase the gun. So, and they still go out and try to rape that person. So no matter what you try to do, it's still going to be a damn situation, and it's sad in a circumstance. I was just pretty much just sad and upset about the situation. Then when more information came through, I don't even know what to believe now. So I'm like trying to figure out what is the truth.
Right. And it's difficult. One thing is true. That girl got assaulted.
Yeah.
And left for dead.
Yeah.
Juan, first thoughts on the case, and do you believe the boy's story about, and what do you think about the her having sex in the park with her dad?
Yeah, you know, when I first heard the case, you know, is you know, that's just something that's wild and crazy, you know, but you know how that all transpired like that, and you know, so then now, you know, they're saying she's attacked and raped, and then now, you know, the boys is coming back and saying, well, oh no, she wanted it, and it was her fault. She was having sex with her father. You know, I mean, before we all, and this is the thing that I hate about in America, the court of public opinion is even worse mm-hmm. than the court, you know, of the law. And you know, sometimes a lot of the defense lawyers try to use this tactic. You know, they'll throw out a little tidbit of information about the case of what's going on, and you throw it out there, you know, to the public to get the public to be like, you know, well, maybe this didn't happen, that didn't happen. But no, it's all got to be all determined by the courtroom, not out in the public, not in the blogs, not in the interviews that you have to the news stations or in the blogs. That all will be determined in court, and it's like the rights of the criminals are more important than the privacy of the victims. And that's really the sad state of affairs in this country. And you're playing a dangerous, very, very dangerous game with those type of situations. We already seen what's happening with Bill Cosby, with, you know, the court of public opinion, you know, with cases like, you know, high profile cases like that, to where they haven't been, you know, nothing's been, you know, taken to court quite yet, you know, to prove their guilt or innocence. But, you know, when you let the public opinion decide that for you, you're playing a very, very dangerous game. People's lives can be ruined. It is a very dangerous situation. So, you know, who knows? You know, they claiming, oh, the father was having sex with her. But I'm pretty sure it's going to all come out, you know, because I'm pretty sure they did a rape kit on her when he took her down mm-hmm. there. I'm pretty sure it's all going to come out. We let that mm-hmm. we make that determination by that first when they go into the court. Don't get swayed so much by what, you know, the defense or whoever else is throwing stuff out there to the news and all that other stuff. Don't get swayed by that. Mm-hmm. Let that all be determined in the actual case itself.
Now, let's say she was giving daddy a little something. Does that give five hooligans the right to jump in the session?
Hell no, that doesn't give them the right. I mean, you know, daddy and daughter, that's nasty in itself to be doing that. But, you know, some dudes to be raping her, gang attacking her like that, that's even worse. That's even more disgusting. That don't give nobody, when a person says when no means no, that's what it means. It means no. And, you know, I mean, to kind of build on what a couple of y'all were talking about, you know, with the father taking, you know, the gun being put into his face. You know, I mean, in those type of situations, you know, people, I know we can all sit back and we can look 20/20 hindsight and say, well, I would have did this or I would have did that and I would have did this and I would have did that. But, you know, a lot of times we really don't know what will happen if we ever get thrown into a situation. Let me tell y'all something. I got a gun pulled on me on two different occasions in my life. You know what the hell I did? Not a damn thing. Hell, not a damn thing.
Punk ass. You supposed to get shot. You supposed to be a man. Supposed to get shot, Juan. Like, she doing running.
Hell.
I'm pulling your car. But it. I mean, he's right. None of us knows what we would do in a situation like that. Especially if you're drunk, scared for your life. I don't know. But it seems like it's a lot of men making a lot of decisions for a young girl who was already abandoned for the majority of her life or her 18 years with your dad. And even if he was telling you to do something to him that wasn't supposed to be being done, he going to allow mad other people to come and do the same thing to you? Like, the way this chick is being has been victimized. I just can't comprehend, and I don't get how other people don't see that.
I do have a question regarding the: is that really her father? Though, had they actually confirmed that?
That's what all reports are saying. That is her biological father.
Okay. Y'all heard a story where the boys say that they feel like that was some older dude that she was dating, and she used that as an excuse.
I didn't know.
Well, exactly. And why are we even listening to them? They're going to say anything they have to say to get out of trouble. Obviously.
True. But like
any,
I said,
and
everybody's
all the excuses,
to
all the excuses that
trouble.
They gave is still not any no good reason for you to go and jump on somebody in the park, or even just even if she said, "Yeah, come on, what kind of nasty, dirty nigga is you that you just gonna roll up on a bitch in the park, no condom?"
Yeah, you just you okay?
No,
with
No nothing.
That's
you
I'm
just
saying.
Raw dogging it. She said one of the dudes had full sexual contact intercourse with her, and she was forced to give the other two head.
And it's like, what in the heck? I don't understand what's going on in these kids' mindset. Like,
I don't understand it either. Well, let me take it to Ronan. And Ronan, I want to get your initial thoughts as well. And then I want you to answer if you think that the climate of Black Lives Matter and how we're so much the all the cases that we are stopping for justice for has it come to bite us in the ass now that something has happened on the flip side that actually needs some hood wolves to get some justice. Is it now that the police are so scared of being accused of certain things that they're like, you know what, hands, we ain't touching it type of situation? Is it biting us in the ass? What do you think?
Well, the first part, in looking at this whole case, I had to read it twice, and in so many ways, I don't know what to believe now. Because, one, if me, hypothetically, if me and my daughter were out in the park, and we were being, you know, robbed or approached by in the same situation, somebody gonna have to go down. I'd send her away somewhere. I'd go down fighting. That's just how I would do it. Because I've been robbed at gunpoint, and at that point, I was expecting to go. Just, you know, seeing, you know, whatever he's gonna do, and all he wanted was some stuff that I didn't have, and then he up and left. Now, for that situation, it was just a little weird. And plus, having had an ex-girlfriend to where she got drunk and she wanted me to, you know, have sex with her, I couldn't do it. Because whether you're in a relationship or not, you know, they say alcohol is truth serum, but what kind of truth is coming out of that person? And do you want to deal with it? So
right.
I just think the whole thing is disgusting. I mean, you figure, like, you know, seeing some of my buddies that sit there and got on this 15-year-old before a basketball tournament. They, you know, man, you want to get in? Like, hell no, I left. And they was, you know, like, four of them running a train on her. And I mean, just them being out, you know, outright disgusting. I just think it's like it says a whole lot about you to be in the mix with a bunch of your boys going in raw and even taking advantage of somebody who was inebriated or under the influence of something. You know,
right.
If it's not consensual, I can't do it. So, but for this whole thing about the father smashing the daughter, that's just what got me all fucked up with everything. Just there's just so much in it. It's just a big ass mess, personally.
Right. And why is we so quick to believe the worst about Black women? If this was a young white girl in the park with her daddy drunk, and they would have came and did that to them, oh, hell would have broken.
They would have said they were bonded. They wouldn't even phrase it like they were drunk, or that her father was the town drunk, or the neighborhood drunk. They would have phrased it that they were bonding, sharing a beer.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
They would have made it sound so much more idyllic and special than this girl and her father. And yeah, maybe he shouldn't have, you know, what he was doing was wrong, first of all, by giving her alcohol. But that does not give you the right to take from her something that she did not give. That doesn't give you the right to do that. That does not.
They took that girl's humanity.
Us.
They took her humanity.
Exactly. They treated her like an animal. They treated her like not even an animal should be treated like that. They treated her like a thing, like something that they could throw away, like a sock.
Our media teaches us how to treat Black women?
And it is.
That's the thing right there.
There's never any justice for Black women in these cases. And the amount of men that I hear, you know, being like, oh, she lying,
without even thinking logically about the entire situation as a whole. That's a child. You can say 18 all you want to. That's still a child. She was still with her guardian, and he left her to the wolves.
Yeah.
Now, I was talking to a friend of mine, and forgive me for sounding so rude on this, but I had to lay it plain. I said, if I was her and these thugs came in the park with me and my daddy and we drunk and he just off and leave me and they trying to get some and I feel like they're going to kill me, I'm going to suck the soul out them motherfuckers. Because if it's either suck a dick or die, motherfucker, you better bring a lunch.
Okay.
And I will have no problem telling that to a judge, jury, executioner, whoever.
She said, bring a lunch.
I'm mad.
And this is a woman, and this is as a woman telling you, if I'm scared for my life and they say, bitch, perform or die, just like they did in to us back in the day on the plantation, fight or die, what the fuck you going to do?
Well, on that part, I'm
going to get my lips ready. Pass the Vaseline, boo-boo. Let me get some chapstick. It's about to be on in here. And then you going to jail. And I'm going to tell everybody.
But here's the thing, though, Boogie. It's like, as black people, it's like, as you can see with the whole Cosby thing, they attacked Felicia Rashad and Camille Cosby for the fact that they stood by them. They hate the fact when we stand by each other or even work amongst each other, talk to each other in a civilized manner. So you look at how the media will tell how they paint a picture. Let's say if there's, you know, we have this outrage, you know, there's mad niggas out there destroying the city, but we haven't done anything. Well, when you have people that turned up as far as with the Kentucky loss in the Final Four, you know, they're just showing out, they're showing emotion. So it pays great dividends to paint us in a very negative light. Not just in the media, but amongst ourselves. And it's not really the cops, anything. That's a whole other matter. It's like we don't have that community to where we take care of our situations amongst ourselves.
And I'm glad you brought that up.
True.
Yeah,
we had to publicize bullshit for no reason. You had people say, well, you're throwing shade, or, you know, it's like we got to drink this tea. But really, there's no community in there. There's no
longer. Thank you for bringing that up. I'm going to pose this question to Juan real quick just to make sure he's on and all of that. But Juan, what do you think about what Ronan just said, the community? Speaking of the community, where the fuck is Farrakhan? Where the 10,000 Fearless? Where Jesse Jackson? Where Al Sharpton? Because it's not black and white. It's not something to call in the people. This is the prime. This is the time. This is when the entire NOI, Nation of Islam, 10,000 Fearless, the marchers, everybody should have descended on Brownsville and demanded answers and showed the world that we take care of our own, including our criminals. Where they at? Why has not the community come out themselves?
If one can't say this, I got a small reason for it.
Hey.
Come on with it.
Hey.
So, small reason is the Duke lacrosse. The whole Duke lacrosse fiasco has got all these so-called leaders being hesitant to do anything now. That thing was so jacked up and made everybody look bad that was involved, from Al Sharpton and everybody else.
But that was black and white. That was a black stripper with white lacrosse slaves. And I still say to this day, they did something to that chick. I still believe it. I don't care what nobody says.
But that's the reason why a lot of these guys, they ain't saying nothing until they know for sure there's some type of injustice or something they can profit off of us. They don't want to look bad.
Nobody's asking them to take sides, but at least get the community together and get some goddamn answers.
That's
the big problem. Yes, I definitely see that as a big problem. I mean, you know, it's something like, you know, something that how it used to be back in the day, something like that happening in the community. Oh, they go find the dude, whoever it is that did whatever transgression against another person. They go find him, his ass in the middle of the street, and then turn him over to the cops. That's the way it's supposed to be done. what's going on is that y'all, what's kind of going on is that you got these little, you know, I mean, yeah, you got some of these casters running around with guns and gangs and all that other stuff. So I can understand the fear in that type of situation. But what happened is you letting these guys, these gangs or these criminals, you know, run your neighborhoods when it shouldn't be like that. You should be running your neighborhood. You should
And these boys ain't even in the gang. They mamas turned them in.
Exactly.
But if
and then what made it worse is they mama is on the bandwagon too of it's the girl's fault. That sickens me to my stomach.
That's what's so sad about it. It's like whenever there is a black woman involved and they're talking about being violated, being disrespected, any of that, the first thing they're gonna say is it's her fault. She's crazy, she's bitter, it's all of these things. Oh, she's promiscuous. And they have to attack the person's character in such ways that it's just like worse than being raped. Now you got raped again. You got raped again by the court of public opinion because they're going to paint you as the most promiscuous and loose individual, or you're crazy, or you're bitter because you had wanted to do this act and then changed your mind. And by the time that you get to court, now you have to be prepared to be raped a third time because the defense attorney is going to come at you and they're going to try to break you down and question your credibility. They're going to ask you probing questions that you don't want to answer in a room full of people, yet alone in a court of law. So this person has to be raped repeatedly. Over and over again.
Go ahead, Juan. You want to make a comment?
Oh, yeah. It goes back to what I said about, you know, the same situation. We were speaking on the R. Kelly situation. The most disrespected woman that receives no justice, no love, is the black woman, bar none. And that's really sad because as the black woman, you know, they are the mothers, they're the ones that birth our black nation. And to the fact that they don't get enough respect by the media or by anybody else is truly sad and truly disgusting, you know, to that extent in this type of situation. That court of public opinion is a monster, is a beast, and you know it's crazy, it's really sad.
And it also shows how much regard, like we've been saying all night, how much regard there is for the black woman. Now, I'm not saying that every woman out here is virtuous. There are some lying bitches out here.
There are.
Black, white, Chinese, and so on and so forth that accuse brothers of rape and make brothers' lives hell. But in this case, I think pure logic needs to be in the forefront. It does.
I definitely agree.
The only way I will believe that this girl was not raped, not taken advantage of by her, both her father and that he left her and told them to go ahead. Oh, I can't even imagine.
This has been happening for generations because there was a time where we recognized there was safety in numbers. Now, granted, we had some shitbirds amongst us, but we knew how to check each other, you know, amongst ourselves. But now it has, you know, become, I guess, an Olympic sport to basically show and expose any old thing just for attention or approval. And I've seen how some households are fragmented and how some daughters are basically taught or raised in the house. I mean, there's some mothers or fathers who put their resentment on the daughter. So, again, like, putting them in a situation like this or elsewhere otherwise, because this is the only thing that was made, I mean, one of the many things that's been made public. Who's to say that, you know, there's many countless cases where this happens behind closed doors, but not just either the father, the mother, or the creepy uncle. Because, like I said, I've been in a relationship before where the mother knew what me and her daughter were doing, and she was hoping that she'd get pregnant. But me knowing that, and I was sitting there and talked to the daughter, I said, look, you know, you need to be mindful of what's going on here, because this isn't right for me to be sitting there smashing you in your mom's house, and she's cool with it. I just don't feel right about this. And
they saw you as a way out. You must have had some benefits at the time.
But the thing is, like, her mindset was, you know, if I happen to get her pregnant, then she'd be out the house, and then mom can start over with a new baby and keep this bullshit going. and she had five kids already. So
well, that's a whole lot different than five motherfuckers in a park, though.
Well, but still, the thing is, like, there's no, we have a culture to where anything that goes on news, we're quick to put out a camera instead of put out justice, because justice would be a concerted effort. But so many just were like, hey, world star, whatever, we saw this and whatever, and not looking to intervene or even stand up for anything. This is where we're at now.
Like I said, we've got to learn how to be better humans.
Yeah.
We've come to the part of the show, the time has flown by. It's almost 11:30. It's a minute too. So we got to decide who do we put a case on. If we were sitting on the jury, but we are the madmen, so we are a jury, in fact, who do we put the case on? If we could put a case on one entity, who would it be? Would it be the girl, the father, the boys, or the parents of the boys? Where is the root? Because, you know, to solve a problem, to pull a weed, you got to pull it out at the root. So where's the root of this problem? Ms. Nick Fatale, who do you put a case on?
I put a case on the boys, but I don't know what's going on in their households. Like, you turn the kids in, but then still you blaming the victim. Ultimately, she did not give her consent. She was too inebriated to give her consent, so I have to put it on the boys. But looking at Papa with the side eye, too.
Ronan, who do you put a case on?
A part of me wants to say these fragmented families of the black community, but I put the onus on the father, because if I'm getting reacquainted with my daughter and we just so happen to be outside and that same situation happens, I'm going to die for mine, and I'm taking a few motherfuckers with me. That's just bar none.
Gotcha. Glove, who gets the case?
Like I said, I have no clue who I should put the case on, but my gut feeling, because me being a father, would be on the father, because I would do everything to protect my daughter by any means necessary. And when present her in a situation where there's trouble that might be brewing. I don't know, Ken, like I said, I do not know the full details of everything, so I'm not going to try to be that judgmental, but just to be in that situation at night, I would not even have myself and my daughter in a situation. And that's to have that even be introduced. I wouldn't allow it. So that right there, I've had to put it on the father. And also with that, as the other case would have been for the parents of those kids. And I put emphasis is those are still kids. 14 to 16, they're still kids. So, and their upbringing, how they were raised, you got, it's jacked up for them to even think the way they, you know, they were thinking, to run a train on this little girl. So that's right there. They're also, I put more accountability on, because as parents, you should not ever have some child have that way of thinking at all, period.
Got a point. Only thing I would kind of rebut you on, Glove, is I think they did that shit if it was broad daylight.
Yeah.
Tell you the truth.
I think that if it was
night,
it was
day,
house,
midday, dusk, dawn, that shit would have went down. Mm. But I feel you. I feel you. Juan, who do you put a case on?
I put a case on the boys that, you know, attacked her. Because, you know, point blank, look, this proves positive to you guys. Look, drunk pussy is not always good pussy, okay? You see that woman that got you guys, you go out in the club or whatever, and y'all be out there partying, whatever, that one girl that's look like she just drunk, just stumbling all off her behind, like she ready to give it up to whoever, that's not what you go for. Don't go for that, because you don't know what that could turn into. That could turn into a rape situation. She could accuse you, she could falsely accuse you, or you could turn it into a situation where it really might be rape, okay? Because she's in an inebriated state. You don't touch that. You leave her alone. Y'all remember that movie Kids with the girl was drunk and he wound up raping the girl or whatever, didn't know she had AIDS. He wound up catching AIDS. That's a proof positive example. You don't know. Drunk girl, leave them alone. No means no.
Right.
You don't need to be touching that. And to me, and I know people sit there and say, oh, they're kids. You know, at 14, 15 years old,
you
at
know
a certain
enough.
Point, you know enough. You know right from wrong. You know what you're doing, okay? Okay, I was a little horn dog at that age, too, but I wouldn't go rape nobody. You know what I'm saying? No. Nah,
right.
We're
you
not
knew
wrong is wrong.
The worst we did was clothes burning and things like that, but
Luan, as you said, you knew better. That was what you got that from your parents, that you knew better, right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, that's why I said you put it on the parents for outrageous.
But it's people that
like
wasn't
that.
Even raised with their parents that know that that shit is wrong.
That know.
They 14 to 18. The oldest of them is 18.
Yeah, we live in a high-tech society right now where you know not right from wrong because it's shown right in front of you. So you have options. Matter of fact, you have the oldest GPS in the world, which is your intuition. Something within you tells you, like, something ain't right about this.
This
ain't supposed to happen this way.
Well, I'm going to put my vote in. I vote for the boys as well. Put a case when they add. But at the age of 14, if they're doing this, I'm sorry. I don't want them in my community. I don't want them on my state, my land, my nothing. They need to go somewhere. They need to go. They gotta go. I'm sorry. We need to begin to rid ourselves of this. There's no sympathy. There's none. And like I said, I'll retract if the girl comes out and is like, nah, they ain't rape me. But even then, I still see her as a victim. I would still see her as a victim. And even then, them boys, it's just walking in a park and just, let me get some? Really?
Yeah. And it's like, my thinking is that if it were not her, it would have been someone else.
So I have to give my vote for the boys. They need to go down. They need to be off the streets. And I don't think there's any amount of rehabilitation. Because once they lock them up in jail, they're going to get even worse. They're going to hate women even more. It's a wrap. It's a done for them. It's a done. And if you see the photos of them when they're going to jail, I mean, just arrogant, smiling, snickering, laughing like it's a motherfucking game.
Like,
you think I want dumb motherfuckers
you?
Around my daughter, my kid,
right?
My nephews, my brothers, my you think I want them around anybody?
Exactly.
But you know what? You know what, Boogie? The thing is, like, among us, like, if any of y'all were in a similar situation, you know the fellas that they'd be out there and tear shit up. That's just how we're built. But a lot of guys among us aren't built like that. They would encourage a situation like wait for my turn. So it says a whole lot about who had the mindset to stand up for things and know what is good and bad. And then there are others who sit there and take advantage of any opportunity available.
Yeah.
That's what we're dealing with.
Hey, can I tell you a little quick testimony?
Yes, sir.
This is my experience, my two experiences when I was in Korea, my two tours in Korea. I seen so much stuff where, and this men and women, where everybody gets drunk and they will do just go raw on a lot of things that is just virtually rape in the clubs, in the barracks, everywhere. And a lot of these women get victimized by these hooligans. And that's what these guys were, hooligans. This is like a bigger issue than just these boys. This is something like that has been accepted by a lot of men. That the mentality is, you see a chick, she's look like she's freaking, she's drunk. Everybody just jump on in and ride a train on her.
And what did they say? Remember what they said on the tape? You look like a freak. We knew you was a freak. Yeah.
It really, it's not just a court of public opinion. Like, a lot of times it's a court of assumption. Because, yeah, having, you know, messed around with chicks, even so, you know, two at a time. I mean, we made sure it was consensual. Plus, you know, you had to add your paperwork and everything like that. But some people don't even think like that. Because some will have the camera on them and think it's cool. Even though some that consent to it, some will have those regrets. And that's why you have to be very, very, very conscious about anything you're doing, not just as the one who's receiving, but the one who's giving, period. Because anything gets turned around. Anything.
You're absolutely right.
You're absolutely right.
Well, the votes have been tallied, and the madmen have decided to put a case on the boys. It was a close one. It was a close one. But we're going to keep an eye on the case. We may have to go back into the jury room and debate this once again as more details and facts come out about this case. And as we close out, I just want to say that I want to remind people, especially our community, the black community, and even the human community, the Brownsville Five, these cats are not the Central Park Five. Do not get these two confused. Please stop the comparison. This is apples and oranges, baby. Apples and oranges. Those boys for Central Park was completely railroaded. If you're watching that documentary, Making a Murderer, that was the Central Park Five. They have finally gotten justice after many, 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 many years of being accused of raping and beating up some white woman. I don't even think she was raped. I think she was just assaulted.
Right.
This is completely different.
How that came out.
Yeah, but this is completely different. Completely different. The boys acknowledged that they went in the, and you know what's so horrible? First they said, yeah, we went in there, we had sex with her. She said we could have sex with her, but she didn't even know it was us. She didn't even identify us. So how y'all arresting us? It's like the amount of fuckery that's going on with this. It's unprecedented.
Exactly. I just don't.
We got to begin to have some compassion and love for black women, black youth, especially our black girls. We have got to. But please stop comparing them to the Central Park Five. They are not. We're going to keep an eye on the case. We're going to keep an eye on it, and we're going to come back. And we're going to keep you abreast of it and let you guys know what's going on. Make sure you check out our fan page. Keep your ear to that. We'll definitely have updates as they come out. And we'll be talking about it again and updating you guys who are not in the States that listen to this podcast to what is going on with it. Shame on you, Farrakhan, Sharpton, and all you so-called black leaders that always run out for a photo op with a march going on. But when real shit is going down like this, you're nowhere to be found. This is the time when the teeth need to be cut, and it's on issues like this. Not for no photo op, but for real work that needs to be done in the community, and this is the hard work. Martin said that you can tell a true measure of a man how he acts in times of conflict and controversy. This is that time, and y'all motherfuckers done disappeared. You're cowards.
The deepest depths of hell are reserved for those who remain neutral in a time of moral crisis.
Dante. You better tell it. You better tell it. You better tell it. And with that, I got to say thank you to the Mad Men. Happy New Year. We're going to bring it back next week with another topic, another social ill. You know how we do. We are the madmen. The revolution of the mind continues. Shouts out to Ronan Glove, Nick Fatale, Juan. Shouts out to Craig G, the Hater, Kelly Kell. All you madmen, we love you very much. We'll be back next week, hopefully, if the network ain't down. Check out the website, whyyoumadson.com, blacktalkradionetwork.com, whyyoumadson on Facebook, on Twitter, and whyyoumadson radio on Facebook. Till next week, madmen. Keep the revolution of the mind going. We love you. Be out.